Welcome to the Spa Girls podcast. If you're a self-publishing writer or just self-publishing curious, you're in the right place for writing, publishing, marketing, and mindset discussion. I'm Shah Barrett.
And I'm Cheryl Phipps.
And we're joined today by author Samantha Price. Hey, Samantha.
Hello.
Welcome.
So I'm going to hand over to Cheryl to do your bio, and then we'll get right into it.
Okay, that's brilliant. You may have noticed that there's only two of us today, two of us from
Spa Girls. We've gone rogue.
Poor old Wendy succumbed to the
illness, the virus,
which shall not be named. And Trudy's off with her daughter somewhere, so it's just us today, but I'm sure we'll manage.
We will.
And today, as Shah said, we've got the lovely Samantha Price here. She's a USA Today best-selling author of Amish romances, romance books, and cozy mysteries. She was raised Brethren and has a deep affinity for the Amish way of life, which she has explored extensively with over a decade of research. She is mother to two Papid rescue cats and a very spoiled Staffy with separation issues. Welcome. We've all got our pets. We've all tried to corral them today. So, there's one making a show.
Look, behind people, you there.
Just kind of ignoring
saying hi. All right. So I think we just get straight into it because I know that Shah and I are absolutely fascinated with the fact that you are writing these Amish books. And I guess we want to know how it all started. How did you get into writing that genre? And why in particular romance and cozy mysteries?
Well, I started off, like, when I was a teenager, I absorbed, like, the Mills and Boons. Mm-hmm. I don't know if the Mills and Boons books are still out there, if they're involved into Harlequin or something like that, but they were sweet, sweet romances, and I used to read them sort of one after the other. Mm-hmm. And I always wanted to write as well, so they were calling for submissions for writers, so... Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I got these submission guidelines and I wrote a couple of books, but I never got around to actually sending them in. Because everyone, the perception is that it's so hard to get published.
Yeah.
So I kind of, back in those days when I was like a teenager, I thought, oh, well, why bother if it's hard? I'll do something else.
Sounds like a lot of teenagers I know today.
So they just sort of sat there and I don't know what happened to them, but then I moved on in life, but I still always wanted to write. And then as I sort of changed jobs and did different things and sort of moving along sort of decades later, and then I still wanted to write. And then I found out that there was a genre, like the Amish romance genre, and I thought, well, that would suit me down to a T, because my background was I was raised in the Brethren Church. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know anything about them, but it's very closed, much like the Amish, and we had to wear head coverings in church and you don't associate with people outside, mm-hmm. and you have to marry within the church. And it has similar roots to the Amish.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so that's interesting.
I felt like I'd kind of lived that life.
Mm. Right.
That's why I thought I can understand sort of where they're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started studying the Amish, because the Amish genre, it's much like historical romance. Although it's fiction, you have to sort of be accurate within that fiction. Otherwise, like, you'll kind of upset readers who know about that time in history kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's sort of what got me started off into Amish romance. And then I started, and it was back in the day when Kindle, just after Kindle first started, and you could sort of publish your own books.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how I started.
Wonderful.
Just straight on directly with Amazon. Didn't go looking for a publisher
or anything. So the cozy mysteries are something more newer than the romance for you?
No, I started because I really like mysteries.
Mm-hmm.
So I started off, and the cozy mysteries I write are Amish cozy mysteries.
Yes.
So, like, everything I write, except for one series, is Amish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's how I sort of started Amish mystery, because I really wanted to do wanted to add mystery with that.
Yeah.
And when did you start publishing those?
Probably about a year or two after I started doing the romances.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so for quite a while then.
2014.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Is it the same readership for both, Samantha, for both the mystery and the romance, do you think?
Yeah, a lot of it is crossover, but like a lot of people like the mysteries, they don't so much like the romance, and
yeah,
so there is a crossover, but there are people who just distinctly like sort of one or the other.
Yes. And this is maybe a really silly question, but readers of Amish, do you have to have that closed community experience, do you think, to enjoy the books, or is it a wider audience, like a sweet reading audience?
I think it's a wider audience, and it's growing. It's sort of back to when times were more simple and family and God and sense of community.
Yeah.
And it's sort of people read it for escapism and just it's a nice sort of safe environment.
Yeah.
Yeah, sort of probably going back to how it was a couple of hundred years ago.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you find that the romance or the cozy are more successful, or are they on a par?
Well, I've got one long-running series at the moment which is probably the most popular, and that's the Amish Bonnet Sisters.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm up to book 31.
I was going to say, tell our listeners how many books you are in the series.
31 in the one series.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. I didn't plan to write that many. I thought it was going to be like a 6 or an 8 book series, but it just sort of, the stories, I think it was like the characters sort of kept it going because they each had their own kind of little storyline happening.
And so were you bringing in those characters at the end of the previous book that would populate the next book?
Not really. It started off with a family and then it sort of like an extended family, and it'd follow each story of each of the members. Sort of a bit hard to explain. And then I did bring in more characters, like a niece and a friend who was a pen pal. Sort of they came into it as the people started getting married off. But then still keep including the married ones because they were also popular.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I started writing the book where one character was meant to be the main character, but then another character kind of took over.
It's like, yes, they do.
Yeah.
How do you keep track of 31 books worth of characters? Do you have a spreadsheet, just a phenomenal mind? Like, clearly, you've got a Bible.
I should, but I don't. I kind of keep it all straight in my head. I might forget a couple of things, and then I have to go back. But mainly, I just seem to remember.
Wow!
Wow!
I can't remember what I had for dinner 3 days ago. I'm so impressed.
No, I forget things like that, but trust me, I don't have a good memory for a lot of things. But like, I know things that I kind of have to remember, or things that are important.
Oh, I'm
that
so impressed.
That is just incredible.
I am so impressed. Yes. So once you got to, say, the 8th book in the series, obviously it was the reader feedback that, and the sales, of course, that kept that going. Did you at that point just think, you know what, I'll just do 1 or 2 more, or were you just open, I guess, to it's just going to keep going then?
Yeah, I think it was just because I probably didn't move the stories along fast enough. Like the youngest daughter, when I started the book, there were 6 daughters and 1 stepdaughter and 2 stepsons, who the stepsons weren't in the picture. But the youngest daughter was probably like 13 or 11 or something when I started the book. And so it wasn't, I moved them along too slow for her to get married in the 6th book. And then it was obviously really popular and readers wanted to keep the story going. I tried to finish at book 30. I had planned to stop at book 30 and then sort of have a couple of spin-offs following some different characters. But, like, I would get, like, all these emails every day, please don't stop, please don't stop.
Oh, wow.
And to in life, you know, things like this. So I thought, oh, I do have stories. There are more stories to be told. So I thought, I'll just keep it going. So I had to go back on what I said and keep the series going. So now I've kind of write. I've got 31 mostly done. I'm writing book 32 and 33.
Oh, so it's going
to keep going. I don't know when it will end.
Wow. So we talk to you in 2 years' time and you'll be up to book 75. I want to know what's still in your head then.
Which I have to know how many books, you just said 31 and 32. Do you have more than one book on the go at a time?
Yeah, I find it hard because I find myself writing like 4 or 5 books at a time, which is not good. At the moment, I'm trying to write a Christmas book, another Eddie Smith mystery, and then writing 32, 33 and 34, trying to write them at the same time. And I thought, you can't do that. You'll never get anything finished. So I have to sort of stop and then continue with one.
Oh,
I think that's how my brain works. I think I'm a bit... Mm-hmm.
Well, as we've always said on the spa, whatever works, you know.
Absolutely. Clearly it's working.
Don't stop. But so how many books a year are you writing?
Well, I probably release about one every month or one every 6 weeks.
Okay. And what's the length of them?
Probably about 45 to 50,000 words.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I started writing back in 2014, I mainly wrote novellas.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Because like I've got a short attention span and I like sort of shorter books.
Mm-hmm.
But now I write longer books and I find it hard to tell a story in like something that was like 28,000 words. I wouldn't be able to tell a story in that amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
So right. As I've sort of grown as a writer, I kind of do it longer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I don't sit down and think, okay, this book will be 50,000 words. It mm-hmm. kind of, I'm just used to writing that mm-hmm. length now.
Yeah, and when it's finished, it's actually that amount.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And it could go a bit over, it could go a bit under, but whenever that's sort of finished, yeah. And then when it's finished.
Oh. Yeah. I want to be like you when I grow up.
Yes. So do I. Oh, my gosh. I think, honestly, I feel like we need to give Samantha the Gold Star Award for being the most prolific and productive writer that we've had, I think, on podcast and
absolutely
350 something episodes.
And I feel very remiss actually, because we have been talking about how prolific she is without actually saying that Samantha is a six-figure author and doing exceptionally well in a genre that maybe a lot of our listeners have never read and certainly wouldn't write.
And so certainly Amish cozy mystery is kind of a niche of a niche, isn't it?
Yes.
You've got mystery and then you've got cozy mysteries and you got. So I have a question about the mystery, and I'm trying to be, I hope I put this in the correct way, but if you've got a baddie in a mystery, can the baddie be from that same closed community? Like, would you offend?
I don't think I've ever had a baddie that was from the Amish community.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That would make sense to me.
Yes.
Red herrings.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, no one wants an Amish person to have killed someone.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
No.
Yeah.
No. Exactly. Okay. It's
got to be the stranger coming in and doing the bad deeds.
Yeah.
Although you're not going to have everybody in your community as pleasant as what they might be.
They're not. Like, they're not pleasant, and everyone has still it's like a sweet and wholesome story, but you're not going to have everybody who's likeable.
No.
They all have their bad quirks and their bad habits and have a bad day or do the wrong thing. Like, not everyone's perfect, or it wouldn't be a very interesting read.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And do you have places in the story? Like, do you have cafes and shopkeepers and that? Or,
they have, like, shopkeepers and cafes. They're kind of limited in the professions that they can do, for being Amish.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be like a pilot or something like that. So, like, the storylines can sometimes be quite limited.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, if you thought, write a mainstream novel, you could just dream up all sorts mm-hmm. of things,
yeah.
all professions, and they yeah. go here and they go there, but that really can't yeah. happen.
Yeah.
In an Amish story, they kind of got to be a bit more creative.
Yes.
Well, you must be incredibly creative, because I mean, that's just one series that we've been talking about with the 31 odd books, but you actually have so many series, don't you? Yeah. And and we talked about how many books you have out, and it was
150. I counted them up.
150 novels and novellas. So that's just incredible. And we're talking about from your start in about 2014.
Yeah.
I feel like such a slacker.
Well, being a writer, I think it's important to be a good time manager.
Mm-hmm.
And so I make sure I give myself a certain length of words to do every day. Like I say, I don't always do this many, but I'd say, okay, today you've got to do like 3,000 words, or you've got to do 1,000 words, and then just make sure you do it. And so I normally do the writing in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And so once it's done, I've got that done for the day, and then I can go on and do other things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So how do you actually write? Are you writing in a Word document? Are you a Scrivener person? What actual tools do you prefer to use?
I just write in the Word.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then like format in vellum.
Okay.
Yeah. But I haven't sort of gotten my head around Scrivener. Just sort of keep it simple and do it in Word.
Again, as Cheryl said before, what works for you is, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. What about, are you planning? Do you plot? Do you outline? Like, do you do a combination? How do you actually go about the process?
So when I first started off, I didn't have a plot, didn't have an outline or anything. I just wrote like whatever came into my head.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing what I do is when I'm writing, even today, I don't know who the killer is until...
Yes!
It's Cheryl too.
That's how I write too, and everybody else is like, you're just weird, but no, that's how it is, isn't it? Because things change while you're writing.
And then, but if at certain times I've, okay, this person's going to be the killer, but then I make it too obvious.
Yes, yes, exactly.
The clues are too obvious, so I kind of leave it to the end.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, who would be the person you least suspect?
Yeah.
And then I pick the person you'd sort of least suspect, because I like the readers to be surprised. I like to keep the reading until the end. And then I'll go back, and if there's not clues back, I'll sort of write back little breadcrumb clues for the reader along the way.
Yeah.
Sorry, I've digressed. What was the question?
Oh, it was just how do you actually go about
When I started writing, I was total like what you call a pants. So I just didn't have any plot, didn't have any guidelines. But now I do have to have a guideline. I have an outline.
Yes.
But I don't often follow it because the characters, I have the character would do X, Y, Z, but then I thought, well, that's not in that character's personality to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So then it has to change.
Because their personality evolves through the story as well, doesn't it?
Yeah. And I like to, I sort of, when I'm thinking of a story, I always start with the characters, not really the plot, and I think about what's a good character. And then I sort of arrange the plot and make something bad happen to them kind of thing and start off that way.
And what about killing off your darlings? Because in an Amish cozy, that must be a bit tricky. Do you get any pushback over that if you kill off somebody, or do you just not kill off anybody major?
I haven't killed off anyone major in a cozy mystery, but in my Amish Bonnet Sisters series, one of the characters died. I thought, well, the readers were upset, but they weren't like outraged or anything.
Okay.
They were kind of sort of upset about the situation and it had on the other family members. But I didn't get any hate emails or something.
I think if anybody was going to be well behaved, it should be Amish romance. Readers.
You'd like to think so.
Yeah. So I have a question about setting for both the romance and the mystery. Is it a fictional Amish community that you've set up, or is it like in an area, a geographic location? Is it an American? Yeah, like, how do you do it?
Yeah, it's a fictional areas.
Mm-hmm.
We're about set in America?
In America, in Lancaster County.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Most of them are set there, but any places I name are mainly fictional.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you travelled to the real Lancaster?
I haven't.
No, I'd love to
do that. Yeah, that bucket list thing.
That would have to be a tax-deductible research trip there.
Yeah, exactly. I would have to take my dog and two cats, so I don't know.
and what about naming your characters? Because would they have, like surnames and that, or even first names, would they be specific to?
Yeah, they have to have, there's a range of, typically Amish names.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of stick to those last names. And a lot of the characters' names are biblical, but they don't have to be.
Right.
Like Abraham or Hezekiah and things like that. They don't have to all the time be biblical names.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And in terms of the religious content, is it like, would you put it under the sort of the inspirational romance category? Like, does it have to have links to the church or links to religious, like dealing with a character's religious beliefs, or is that kind of understood because they're in the Amish community?
It's kind of understood. Like, I don't, my books aren't preachy kind of thing. They just come from the understanding that God and family is the center of their life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how the characters interact with each other, and that's what their thinking is.
Yeah,
they're not sort of preachy in that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, in terms of actually readers finding your books, where would they go to find them? Like, is there an Amish section on, for example, Amazon under the Kindle store?
Or Amish under Amish romance.
Ah,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, what about the Cozy Mysteries? It's just under Cozy, but there is an Amish niche.
Yeah, but there's no actual listing on Amazon for Amish Cozy Mysteries because they're
yet.
yet. They'll have to have one just for you, I feel.
Yeah, it would be good if they started that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, they're always adding.
Your books are wide too, aren't they, Samantha?
No, I'm mostly on Kindle Unlimited.
Are you? Okay. Oh, okay. Right.
And I'm starting to put some of the older, the backlist, I'm starting to put them wide.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, but mostly Kindle Unlimited. Most of my readers, I think, are Kindle Unlimited.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And so I'd get into trouble if I released something that wasn't on Kindle Unlimited. Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so how are they doing wide? I know it's early days and it takes a while to get traction, but I mean, I would imagine that would be a whole new readership out there for you, hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. It's only been probably 2 or 3 weeks that I've had them.
Oh,
okay.
About three series wide.
Yeah.
So that's probably too early to tell, but
yeah.
Yeah,
and I mean, that's a big job with the size of your backlist.
Yes.
That's a massive job, the formatting, the uploading, all of that kind of thing. How do you fit that in around your writing? Like you said, you got your writing done, the words.
Yeah, it's really quite hard. And I think the more books you have, the busier you get because you've always got to change the back matter.
Yes.
Like I'm starting to sell books directly from my website now.
Mm-hmm.
And that, putting 150 paperbacks up on the website and all the audio books and box sets and everything like that, that's a ton of work. So I'm probably a third of the way through that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm only really having time to upload one or two a day. So it's going to take a long time.
Yes.
But I figure I'll get there eventually.
Yeah.
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 I've got to do it as I go.
And so it's just you? You don't have any assistants or anything like that?
I've just started with an assistant,
mm-hmm.
is helping me put things on the website because it's just, I think you get to a certain level and you really do need an assistant.
Yes, yes.
You just can't do everything yourself. Your time is better off spent writing, sort of the admin tasks.
Yeah.
I think that's absolutely. Very wise. Yeah.
Absolutely. And so you talked about paperbacks and audio. How do you go about doing those two in terms of audio? Are you selling the rights or are you doing it yourself?
Well, I did start off Amazon Studios, or what they called Audible Studios, did some for me, probably about 15 or 20.
Mm-hmm.
That was quite a few years ago, but now I'm doing them myself through Findaway Voices.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's a massive job in and of itself, you know, in terms of the, the same narrator, or are you using different narrators?
Different narrators. I've had like two, just stuck with two narrators for the Amish Bonnet Sister series.
Mm-hmm.
But my other series, I've sort of had different narrators for those.
And how are they going, the audio?
Yeah, really good. Yeah, I try and have my books in as many sort of formats so people can read them or listen to them.
Mm.
Another thing I do that's quite a bit different is box sets. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of readers will do a series and then do box sets like a year or two later.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But what I've been doing with the Bonnet Sisters series, and it's been working really well, as soon as I have I put them in box sets of three.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've just released book 30, so the book 28, 29 and 30 will come out in a box set.
Right, pretty much straight away.
Mm. Yeah. And that's been going really well for me because they've become big sellers because the series is so popular.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there might be some, I'm not quite sure, but I think there are some readers who will only read box sets and readers really like box sets.
And what do you price those at? So a three book set of about $150,000?
About $9.99.
Right.
And what are your individual titles priced at, Samantha?
Well, they range from like $2.99 to $4.99
mm-hmm.
for the ebooks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You go.
Well, no, I was just going to say, where are you looking at marketing? Like, do you have any go-tos in your marketing plan? You know, like, are you doing Facebook ads, Amazon, BookBub, that sort of thing?
I'm doing Amazon ads. Mm-hmm. I've always got Amazon ads running.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been quite fortunate over the years to get a lot of BookBub deals.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really helped. And I'll have a spate of running Facebook ads and then I'll stop those and then I'll run some BookBub ads.
Okay.
So I'm kind of not consistent with the Facebook or the BookBubs, but I've always got the Amazon ads running.
Right. Mm. And what are you targeting in your Amazon ads? Are you targeting other authors or because I'm pretty sure you could just target yourself. And
just a different range of other authors mainly. Yeah.
Because especially with the Cozy, are there a lot of other Amish authors out there?
Amish Cozy Mysteries?
Yes.
Yeah, there are a couple, but there's not really a lot. Those I target sort of more Christian cozies.
Mm-hmm.
Right, okay. Yeah. That makes sense,
Yeah.
That's good.
There's a few of
those. And do you do it? I've got a question on covers. Do you do the covers yourself? Are you getting them made? Like that's a lot of covers.
Yeah. I have got some of my covers done, but mostly I do them myself.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, because mainly I'm very impatient sort of person. I want everything done now.
Yeah.
And I like to do my own covers because I like to sort of alter them or do things when I want to do them kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I have got a couple of series that have been done by the cover artist.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And like, again, is there an Amish stock photo site? that's tricky.
Yeah, that has been the hardest thing.
Mm.
But there are more and more photo places that are adding Amish images.
Mm-hmm. Ah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because when I started, really, there were probably only two. So I had to rely on Photoshop a lot.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow. Your talents never cease to amaze me. Feeling very lacking. It's so impressive.
What about things like promotions where you swap, newsletter swaps and things like that? Do you do those?
No, I haven't really done any of those.
No. I'm sorry, I'm just trying to get my whole mind around the fact that it is such a niche, and yet you have done so amazingly well, and from my perspective, not with a lot of help in the respect that there's like other people to target, or you know, you can't just go and say, make me this cover, and all those sorts of things.
It does have its difficulties, but I think the main thing is I've been doing it for so long, and then sort of picking up readers as I go along, and I think consistency is the thing.
Yes.
Like, I've always got to, the readers know I'm always going to have another book out.
Yes, yes, and they're waiting for it, aren't they? Because it's not going to take long.
Oh, they think it's a long time. I thought, what about other authors? They only do like a book or two a year, and I'm doing one like every month or every 6 weeks. I think that's pretty good.
Expectation.
Exactly. And what about keeping in touch with your readers? How do you do that? Do you have a newsletter? Do you have a reader group?
Yeah, I've got a newsletter list, and I've got a Facebook readers group, which I started about just over a year ago. And that's been really good. It's one of the things that I put off doing for so long because I'm, I'm not a very, I'm more of a, like a keep to myself sort of a person, and I get nervous about public speaking like I'm doing now and talking to people and even just putting a post on my readers group. Like at the start I'd get really nervous and replying to readers on that when I first started, it kind of drained my energy. But now I just love it. I love talking to the readers.
Oh that's good.
In that way. It sort of took a long time for me to get used to that, which is might seem strange to some people.
No, I don't think you're alone there at all.
No, I think there's a lot of introverted writers, and it is draining when you're talking with, particularly with sort of strangers, the readers. They may know you or may think they know you, but you don't know them. So it's
And it's been really nice to have that interaction, and they talk about the books, and someone will ask me a question, and before I see it, other people have answered it. You know, it's like a little community. So it's really
brilliant.
Brilliant. That's brilliant.
Why did I put it off for so long? But when I first started writing, I didn't even have my first books. I didn't have any reader newsletter.
Newsletter.
I didn't have a newsletter. I wasn't on Facebook. It's nothing. And one of my books got to on the top 100. Can you believe it? Back then in 2015 or 16, I think it was, it got onto the top 100 of Amazon, and I didn't even have a way for them to contact me.
Wow.
Didn't even have like a newsletter sign up in it or anything.
Oh.
So it's kind of like, oh, what was I thinking back then?
I think, look, to be fair, I heard Mark Dawson say the same thing when he very first started. So you're in good company there. It's now it's sort of widely conventional wisdom, but you know, you're in production mode as well. So only so many hours in the day. So do you have a separate list for your romance readers versus your mystery readers, Samantha, or are they
just all the same?
And how many do you have on your newsletter list?
Probably around about 15,000. So it's not like a huge list. I don't go into. I had done a few group promotions with that, but I tend not to do that now.
No,
because I just want sort of readers who like are focused on my books, not necessarily just grabbing a bundle of free books.
I think
with that, with the list that you've got, because that is a sizable list, and the books that you've got, you've actually got your own little world there, haven't you? It's very organic, it's very pure, and you don't need to actually extend it, do you?
How often are you emailing them? I mean, you've got a new release once a month, you know.
So mainly once every month, like with the new release, and probably another time besides that. So probably about 2 times a month.
And are you referring to your backlist in those emails? Like, are you you've got so many to choose from.
Probably not as much as I should be. But if I had more time, if I could split myself in two, I would do more marketing, I would do more with my backlist, and then the other me would just write.
Yes. We all want another me.
Yeah.
In my perfect world, I would just be writing all day because I love writing. It's like therapy.
Yeah.
You know, just being in that world with the characters. And writing, that's my favourite thing to do.
That's awesome.
That's what about why I'm not promoting as much as I should.
Although, I mean, your production alone is what your biggest promotion tool. So, you are. But what about, how do you look after your hands and things? Do you, like, in terms of physical maintenance?
That's bad because, like, my fingers are all crooked. I have neck and shoulder and back problems.
Right.
So I've got to do a lot of exercises, and I've started going to the gym. And I find if I stop for a few days, I start getting the aches and everything. So I'm going to the gym and doing, like, just little weights and things like that just helps strengthen everything. Hold everything in place. It's really bad to spend like hours in the same position.
And sometimes it's hard to not do it, isn't it? If you're in the flow, it's really it is hard to make
I know you're supposed to stop every 15 minutes and stretch and do this and that, but you kind of can't when you're just in a creative flow. It's really hard to stop.
Absolutely. Have you ever tried dictation as a way of giving your hands a break?
I've tried that, and I tried that for 1 or 2 years, and I found that good, but the problem with that was there were so many mistakes.
Frustrating.
I may as well just type, because I'm typing over all these mistakes. I'm practically rewriting it. I know there's ways to train your dragon and things like that, but I thought, well, no, I'd just rather
And in terms of managing your workflow, like, do you, I'm guessing it's all in your head, but how do you, particularly if you're writing more than one book at a time, how are you working through the editing process, the formatting, all of that? Have you got a Gantt chart or some kind of?
Not really. I'm not kind of that organized. No, I just, so I write down, I would do probably about 3 drafts. Like, I just write down things, like I've got a word count I have to do. And even if I'm not happy with the words, I just sort of get something on the paper.
Yep.
And then I come back, and then I probably end up rewriting it about 3 times.
Wow.
And then once I'm happy with it, I send it off to the editor.
Mm-hmm.
Then I put the suggested changes in, read it through, and then send it off to I've got a good art team, and they find anything that looks a bit strange or any mistakes that slip through, they catch those. So that's kind of,
you're keeping these people busy though if you're doing one a month. Like, that's a lot. Like, it's a lot for you. So while that book is out with those, are you working on one of your other projects that you've kind of got bubbling away at the same time?
Yeah, I'm constantly writing. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. And the work I'm sure I work longer and harder than I did at the beginning, because once you have a lot of books, it just seems to create more work.
Yeah,
it does. It definitely does.
Yeah, yeah. It's like having, you know, initially it might start off as a farmer with one field, and now you've got 150 fields that you're monitoring and
rotating. Yeah, yeah.
I'm just my mind is blown just by the back matter updating. To go back to book one and that 30 book series, or even the 10 book series, and update all the back matter is.
Yeah, it takes a long time.
Yeah. Wow. I'm just blown away.
Certainly been an eye-opening conversation, Samantha. And I think we're probably getting to the end of our podcast today. Anything else that you wanted to say, Shah?
The fact that I would say that you're driven by just the pure love of writing, but if somebody was looking to start off, like, did you get any great advice when you started, or anything that you'd like to share with our listeners that maybe are just dipping their toe in the self-publishing waters?
Yeah, I just think study like the genre that they want to start writing in, and then have a mailing list
Don't do as I did.
Exactly. And and then be, I think, consistent with the releases, because if you want to if you release a few books and then have a break for a year or two and then come back, you've kind of lost all that momentum. So you've got to be consistent, so the readers know, okay, this author releases one every 6 months or one every 3 months or one every month. You sort of got to keep giving them what they expect. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Deliver.
Yeah. And set, I guess it's that part of not only delivering reader expectations, but sort of setting up that expectations that they might have of the author as well, you know, in terms of release schedule. Oh, man. That's so, where does somebody find you if they want to come and pursue your range of books there?
SamanthaPriceAuthor.com.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Cool. Well,
she's in a lot of other places. Pinterest. Yeah.
I don't know how you do it all. All I can say is that you must sleep very little.
It's a lot of work.
You've got so many things right, but I do think the one thing is having everything under one umbrella, you know, not having the, you know, two or three different pen names or anything like that. I think that's probably helped somewhat. Exactly.
Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you so much. I think you can probably tell that Cheryl and I are literally, our mouths are open, just awe-inspired, genuinely. Yeah. So congratulations on all your success, Samantha, and thank you taking time out of your busy schedule to spend some time with Cheryl and I in the spa.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Oh, that's just great. Our pleasure. And thank so if you. Anybody wants to find out where we are, we're at spargirlspodcast.com. We pull back on our TikTok because that was a giant time suck there. So come along to our website. It's probably the best place to come and find out all about us there. And if you want to join our Patreon, we would love to have your support, whether it's buying us a coffee or if you join us at our $10 a month tier, you can come along and join our author mastermind group, which is a lot of fun. And we like to share all our tips and tricks and shenanigans. So that's spargirlspodcast.com and spargirlspodcast@patreon.com. So thank you so much again, Samantha.
Thank you.
Thank you all for listening, and we will see you next week. Bye.
Take care. Bye.